Tom. So thankful that the Holy Spirit is here in this place today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'll let you go ahead, be seated today. I'm going to be taking my text from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So I will give you a moment to get there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And I'll be reading through several different scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. So you can stay there for the rest of this message if you would like. So thankful to be in the house of God today. Continue to pray for our sick list. Keeps growing. Seems like we're just passing things around in circles at my house. So Elizabeth is out today, so please say a prayer for her that she would get better. I think I'm finally over what I was getting. Abby, I think, is just at the stage in life where she's just going to stay sick, as these kids do. Some of y'all that have younger kids that go to daycare, it's like one thing after another. But through everything, God is good, right? Through the good times and the bad times, through sickness and health, God is still good. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And I'll go ahead and apologize if it sounds like my voice is going out. I'm going to try to make it through this today. But so far this year, we have been talking a lot around here about renewal and revival and commitment and transformation. And I believe because of the things that this church is talking about and the things that we are preaching about, I believe that we are battling things in the spiritual realm. And just 2 months into 2024, we have already faced quite a few battles here at the church. Like I said, our sick list continues to grow. We've just had all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes. But like the verse that I read states, we must remember that we are fighting spiritual battles. Sometimes we get caught up in the people, but we're really not battling people. We're battling against spirits. And that's something that we have to remember. And like Pastor Roberts has mentioned before, the sermon from Friday night at Alabama Youth Convention, if you have not gone back and listened to that, I would greatly urge you to do it, because I believe we are at a pivotal point in Christianity, especially in the Western church, where we need more messages that are just plain and simple. We need messages that are straight from Scripture. We need to quit complicating the Word of God and just preach the truth. And so with everything that's been going on here at Abundant Life Church, it should not surprise us that when we make a commitment to go deeper in our walk with God, that we will be faced with opposition. Because after all, Satan does not fear those who have no power. I would say that if we're not being battled at all, then we probably need to re-examine ourselves and see exactly where we're at. If everything was just perfect all the time here at the church, we probably should question where we actually stand. And our guest speaker at men's conference said it best, that if you want an easy life, then you choose an easy path. But when you make a commitment that I'm going to be in church every Sunday, that's going to require some sacrifice. When you make a commitment to read your Bible and to pray every day, that requires sacrifice. When you make a commitment to give up things in your life to further your walk with God, that requires effort. Being a true Christian is not an easy thing. It requires dedication. It requires sacrifice. And if you just want to show up to church every now and then, it's pretty easy. Anybody can do that. If you don't want to change your lifestyle, if you don't want to change the way that you're living, that's pretty easy to do. Don't change anything. If you don't want to walk in holiness and righteousness, then that's pretty easy to do. Just keep doing what you're doing. But that's why I want to talk about spiritual warfare today, because if you are ready for a change in your life, then you have to expect a fight. If you really, truly want a change in your life, you have to realize that there will be some opposition. Now, I'm not here to discourage you to think that, you know, just because you choose to follow Christ, your life is going to be a never-ending battle. But I will tell you this, that even through my darkest times, in the church has been 1,000 times better than what I would have done in the world. I can tell you that through personal experience, that through the very darkest, lowest points in my life, at least I have been in the church. And that's what got me through. God has been too good to me and proven himself too many times for me to give up now. So at the end of the day, I would rather be in a battle in the church than outside in the world with my life just seemingly going easy. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so before I go any further in this, I want to talk about what we actually mean, what we are referencing when we say spiritual warfare. We live in a time with our society where people are very interested and in tune with the supernatural. Just take a look at all the popular TV shows, movies, books, any form of media today. There are so many things that deal with the supernatural. There are many music artists that use religious and occult imagery in their productions. It's all over the place. And some of these people, if you read interviews from them, some of them don't even know the things that they're using. In fact, they may even claim to not believe in Satan or the occult or God or any kind of spiritual world. They just use the imagery for shock value. But to me, I would say that's probably even worse because you're ignorant of what you're playing with. But you don't have to look very far to find spiritual things in our world. But regardless of the reasoning of why the world is so in tune with the spiritual world right now, or so fascinated with the spiritual world, we must realize that the spiritual world is real. But we must also realize that not everything is spiritual warfare. There's two primary errors when it comes to spiritual warfare. Now, we talked a lot about how our culture today, we operate on a pendulum. We go from one extreme to the other. Hardly anybody meets in the middle on anything. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, we have two sides. We have the overemphasis and we have the underemphasis. The overemphasis, some of y'all have probably met people like this, where every single problem in life is the work of Satan. Have I ever met somebody like that? Every time I get a flat tire, it's because the devil's fighting me. I wake up and have a bad day, it's because I'm being spiritually attacked. Casting out demons around every corner. Heard a preacher say one time, if you're looking for devils behind every rock, eventually you'll start finding them. So sometimes life just happens, okay? Not everything is a spiritual attack, okay? It's, be careful here, but we need to be very careful about how high we lift ourselves up, because not every one of us, I would say probably none of us in here, are so important that we're being attacked by Satan 24/7. Just put it that way. You're not that spiritual, okay? So we must use discernment, okay? This would also say that not every issue in someone's life is a spiritual battle, okay? Sometimes people are depressed, have anxiety, fears, and they're still Holy Spirit filled, okay? Sometimes people have medical conditions. That doesn't mean that they've done anything wrong or they're being attacked spiritually, okay? We have to get that out of the way, that not every single thing that happens in our life is spiritual warfare or is a result of something spiritual. But on the complete opposite of that, we have people that entirely ignore the spiritual realm. But the fact that the Bible tells us that our battle is against spiritual powers contradicts this. I don't necessarily say that I fear evil spirits, because I believe that if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, we don't have to fear evil. But I don't go looking for it either. And the things that people allow into their home, sometimes it makes you stop and question. We have to be very careful about this. Like I said, we can swing so far over to the side where every little thing that happens is a spiritual attack. But we can become so complacent over here that we tend to ignore some things. There are some things that we just should not allow into our life. There are some things that you just don't flirt with, okay? You may say, well, I'm spiritually strong enough. That's not going to affect me. That's what everybody says until it does affect them. So we have to find this balance here. Sometimes Jesus cast demons out of people. Other times he healed people with no mention of the demonic. Paul instructed Christians to wage war against the sin inside of them. Sometimes the quote-unquote evil spirits we're fighting is really just the result of our bad choices. I know we don't like to hear that. We prefer to blame everything on the devil, right? But sometimes we have to look in the mirror and say, the reason I'm in this situation is because of decisions that I made. So once we realize that Satan does not have the power to force you into anything, he can only tempt you, we realize where the battle lines are drawn. And this is important because in any conflict, you have to first know who you're fighting. Hard to fight somebody you don't know who you're supposed to be fighting against. And so once we realize who our enemy is, then we realize that sometimes we've gotten caught up fighting the people that Satan uses rather than going straight to the source. Because you see, the tactic of the enemy is to keep us divided and fighting amongst ourselves. So that brings me to the title of my message today. It's time that we wage war on hell, not the people that disagree with us. It's time that the church stands up and goes to the source of the problem. Satan has done a very good job of dividing our country. And some of that division has started to seep into the church. And so we're going to go here for just a minute today, and you can agree or disagree with me. That's all right. I got the microphone, so I get to say it. If you want to talk about it afterwards, we can have a discussion. But the reason this country is in the shape it's in is not because of the politicians in Washington. It's because somewhere along the line, the Christians gave up ground. Because somewhere we started relying on men instead of on Christ. And we started wanting our elected officials to fix everything when we're actually fighting spiritual battles. It's amazing that being transformed by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what that can do to somebody as far as their morals. You want to fix the immorality in this country, start preaching Jesus. Because guess what? You can't legislate morality. You can't pass enough laws. You can't prohibit enough things to stop evil. There's only one thing that stops evil in the world, and that's the Holy Spirit. But the problem is that Satan has used this division. He's got people more worried about the state of the country than the state of their homes. It's going to get quiet, but we're going to press through this. We have pastors and ministers so wrapped up in political ideologies that they've missed what's going on right under their nose in their own church. Because somewhere we've got the lines crossed and we forgot what we are really fighting. But that's the weapon of the enemy, is he's the king of distractions and deceptions. See, somewhere in history we forgot about those verses that says, pray for your enemies. That even goes for people that don't vote like we do. So I will say it again. It wasn't the liberals or the conservatives or the Republicans or the Democrat that put this country in the shape it's in. It's morally corrupt men. And guess what? It goes all the way back to the days of Noah. Disagree or don't disagree, but there ain't a person in Washington that can fix this country. Because we are not fighting the natural, we're fighting the supernatural. And it's time that some apostolic-filled, Holy Ghost-filled Christians stood up and said, you know what, it doesn't matter who's in charge, it doesn't matter what's going on, I know where these things can get fixed. Instead of worrying about fixing the whole country, how about we start fixing our neighborhoods? How about we start fixing our communities? How about we start fixing our schools? But see, it's easy to sit back and armchair quarterback this and say, well, it's this fault, or it's this group's fault, or it's this or that, or whatever, and we don't do anything. We just sit on the sidelines and complain. How about this? You don't like the way the direction your schools are headed and what they teach? Get your kids to start a P7 club. And I'll tell you this, P7 has already started a new initiative. You know that in homeschool co-ops, they're seeing apostolic Bible studies taught and kids filled with the Holy Ghost? It's not just public schools. It's not just private schools. It's in homeschools too. They're starting P7 clubs. Kids, not adults, not pastors, not ministers. Kids are teaching Bible studies and praying people through to the Holy Ghost. That's how you change things in this country. You don't like the way the culture is and around us and the moral depravity that's present? Start witnessing to some people. You want to make someone a good person? Introduce them to Jesus Christ. Because it's hard to live a life, it's hard to live a bad life when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will change you. All of a sudden, you don't want to do the things you used to do. It's amazing that the Holy Spirit will turn a terrible, absolute jerk of a person into an absolutely upstanding citizen. You don't like the way our country's headed? How about we get on our knees and start praying? It's time that the church took this battle outside the four walls of this building and we went right to the doorstep of the enemy. It's time that we went to the source of the problem. So how do we fight this spiritual warfare? Well, the first thing, before you get in any fight, you better be prepared. There's not a boxer, there's not a jiu-jitsu, not a mixed martial arts person that steps in the ring without first training. That's the quickest way to get your head knocked off. Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Notice there, the schemes of the devil. Devil's not as strong as we give him credit for, but he schemes very well. He's very deceptive. Armor is essential to anyone in battle, and the Bible takes great detail in describing the armor of God that protects us. In fact, there are many defensive pieces meant to protect us spiritually, but only one offensive piece mentioned. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I want to go through each of these pieces. And you may be thinking, well, we've gone through the armor of God back in Sunday school. We've probably colored the pictures of the armor and all that kind of stuff. But there's some good stuff in the armor of God. If we start with the belt of truth, that's the first piece. The belt immediately sets the believer apart from the world because Satan is the father of lies. So what's the opposite of a lie? Truth. So if we put on the belt of truth, that already puts us at odds with the devil. Deception is high on the list of things that God considers to be an abomination. The Bible speaks of a lying tongue as one of the things that is detestable to him. So if we don't start with truth first, we have nothing else to stand on. The truth for our own sanctification and deliverance, as well as the benefit of those who we witness to. If we don't know what truth is, how can we take truth to the world? So that's what we have to put on first. We have to know what we say we know. Next, the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate would shield a warrior's vital organs from blows that would otherwise be fatal. This righteousness is not works of righteousness done by man, but rather by Christ, which guards our heart against the accusations and charges of Satan. You see, Satan wants to hit you where it hurts. He wants to hit you in your heart. But righteousness will take care of that. Righteousness is vital in the life of a Christian, because this is what sets us apart from the world. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's not a whole lot of righteousness in the world. There's not a whole lot of good in the world. There's not a whole lot of morality in the world. But we better have some righteousness in our lives as Christian. There better be something that sets us apart as a Christian. Next, the shoes. the gospel of peace. Remember a few weeks back on the message I preached that the gospel is supposed to be active, not passive. We put on shoes so that we can go out. We're not supposed to just stand still. The idea of the preparation of the gospel shoes of peace is that we advance into Satan's territory. We need to quit waiting around for Satan to bring the battle to us. We need to lace up our shoes, take the battle to him. We must be prepared with the gospel if we're going to see lost souls saved. Because remember, souls is the most important thing. The things that you share, the things you say, the things that you post, better be actively leading people to Christ and drawing them in, not turning them away. Next, we have the shield of faith. When we bear the shield of faith, Satan can cast all the doubt he wants. All the fiery darts can be thrown at us, but they will be ineffective. If you think about this, faith is what gets us through the tough times. There's times where all you have is faith. And it may look like there is no way out. I may feel like I have been beaten down and I am just on my knees just trying to survive. But you think about it, if you have been beat down and you are crouched down, but you have a shield, you are protected. That shield of faith is what will get you through the tough times. Faith will get you through a medical diagnosis that wasn't good. Faith will get you through a relationship that has been torn apart. Faith will get you through when there's no money in the bank. Like I said, there have been too many times in my life where God has been more than sufficient for me. Where all I had to go on was faith, and I said, I have no idea how this is going to work out, but I got faith that it will. That's what faith is about. The helmet of salvation. The head of the soldier was among the most important part to be defended. Prone to deadly attacks, damage to the head can be detrimental to the entire body. It doesn't take much of a head injury to render you paralyzed. And spiritually, your head is the seat of your mind. And this is what Satan will attack most. Your mind can be a battlefield. Division, false teachings, questioning yourself, anxiety, depressions, fear, gossip, drama, all these things start in the mind. See, Satan will attack your mind when you're laying in your bed at night and you're just thinking about stuff. That's why we have got to have the helmet of salvation, because the things that start in your mind will eventually make their way out. And we have got to be able to resist the enemy when he starts to attack our mind. And the first step in salvation starts with your mind. You have to choose to follow Christ. You have to choose to repent. You have to choose to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody can force you into that. God does not force you into that. It all starts up here with a decision that I am tired of living the life that I am and I want to change. Lastly, the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive piece listed in the armor of God. While the other pieces of spiritual warfare defend against attacks, the sword of the Spirit allows us to take an offensive position in spiritual warfare. The sword symbolizes the holiness and the power of the Word of God, because there is no greater weapon. The offensive weapon of the Word of God is more powerful than our opinions and feelings. But before we get too excited about this, we must look at the next few verses. Continuing on, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see, we are told to pray. Pray in the Spirit in addition to wearing the full armor of God. We cannot neglect prayer in spiritual warfare. Prayer is where you draw your spiritual strength. Without prayer, our efforts at spiritual warfare will be empty and they will be futile. The full armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer. These are all tools that God has given us. And the good news is victory is promised. If we will do these things, if we will follow Scripture, we are guaranteed victory. You see, that's the good thing about it. We are guaranteed victory in this battle. And if you look at this, you will notice there is no armor specified for the back. Anybody ever thought about that? This must imply that we never turn our back towards the enemy. You see, you only win by not giving up. As long as you are facing forward, you are protected. As long as you're facing forward, you've at least got that shield of faith. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the belt of truth. The enemy can only defeat you when you turn your back to him and start to retreat. But even though we are promised victory, we must exercise caution. Spiritual warfare is not something that we take lightly, and you don't go looking for a fight if you're not prepared. You see, we talk about the name of Jesus a lot, the name above all names that can cast out demons, that can heal. But the name of Jesus is no good without the authority behind it. And a perfect example of this, you can find it in Acts chapter 19, verses 14 through 16. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man who was with the evil spirit leapt on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You see, it takes more than just calling on the name of Jesus to fight spiritual warfare. The evil spirit knew these men had no authority. They had no faith. They were no match for this demonic spirit that they were attempting to cast out. That's why I tell people all the time, spiritual stuff is not something to play with. Spiritual stuff is not something that we take lightly. And I'm not talking about this to cast fear into you and to, that, you know, I don't believe that we should fear evil things if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But a little bit of fear is a good thing. Fear is a natural emotion that we were given. I was listening to a podcast recently about this retired FBI agent. I think he held the record for the most undercover operations in the history of the FBI. And this guy was interviewing him, and he was talking about, you know, how do you go talk with these criminals and do all this undercover and not be scared? He said, "I'm scared every time I go in." He said, "Fear is a good thing." He said, "Because I trust my fear and my intuition and my gut more than any reconnaissance, more than any information, more than anything else." He said, "Having that little bit of fear has saved my life. When I've hesitated, you know, should I get in the car with this person? Should I actually go to this location?" He said, "In fact, I knew it was time to retire when I had no fear." He said, "The very last operation I was on," he said, I left my hotel. I was supposed to go meet these guys that were, I think it was art. They were fine art or forgeries or something, major criminal gang overseas. He was involved in it. He said, I left my hotel. I was supposed to go meet them at a warehouse. He said, I hopped in my Uber, started playing on my phone, got almost there and realized, he said, I wasn't afraid. He said, I wasn't following precautions. I wasn't doing all this. He said, right then I knew it was time to retire because I had lost my edge. He said, a little bit of fear is a good thing. So in a spiritual context, yes, I don't believe that we should live in fear, that there's devils around every corner and all of that. But there are some times that we need to realize that spiritual warfare is a real thing. So having just a little bit of fear is not necessarily a bad thing. But what was happening here is that they were trying to cast out something that they had no authority doing. This is why it's important that we have the fear of God in us. This is important why we live our life in a holy and righteous manner. I believe it is very important how Christians live their life, especially when we start getting into this type of stuff. Even all the way back into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 calls Israel to listen to the declaration of God's identity, but the following verse 5 states that listening is not enough. You must love God with your whole heart, which entails obedience. So if you are not living a life of obedience to God's word, I hate to break it to you, you've got no spiritual authority. I knew it was going to get quiet. You can come in and shout down with the best of them on Sunday. That doesn't mean you have an ounce of spiritual authority in your life. If you are not submitted to the word of God, if you are not obedient to the word of God in your life, I hate to break it to you, you're relying on emotion, not spirituality. And I'll take it a step further. If you ain't submitted to your pastor, you have no spiritual authority. I was going to get quiet, but we're just going to preach on. How you live your life matters. The things you do outside of church matters. So let me tell you, if you're living a life of drama and gossip and contradictions, you may want to examine yourself before you start going and fighting demons. Because you're going to come back like the seven sons, beat up and humiliated. This leads me to my final point. If we want to be successful in spiritual warfare, we must be transformed. There is no other way around it. At some point in the Christian faith, it got more popular to preach acceptance than it did transformation. If you want to put on the armor of God, you've got to first be transformed. And that only happens through salvation in Jesus Christ. If you want to start fighting back in things that are going on in your life, then you need to allow God to transform you first. Going back to what I said earlier in this message about changing the world around us, somewhere in our modern Western church, the church as a whole started losing authority, started losing spiritual authority. The church started giving up ground. And yes, there has been and will always be a remnant of true believers, but I'm just talking about the church, the Christian church as a whole. And somewhere along the lines, we started preaching acceptance, and we started preaching that Jesus accepts everyone. But that is a false statement. The statement is Jesus is available to everyone, but he does not accept everyone. I'm doing a deep study through Romans right now, and just go through and read any of Paul's teachings. All he talks about is transformation and repentance and changing. He keeps pointing to the Jews in the first chapters of Romans. He keeps pointing to the Jews and saying, you've got access to the law. You knew the law. You kept the law. You did all the rituals. You're even God's chosen people, but you don't know who God is. Let me explain this in a way, probably make it a little easier to understand. Right now, if I get on the phone and I call one of the airlines at the Birmingham airport and ask, do they have any flights available to Atlanta or somewhere, they're going to tell me, yes, Mr. Roberts, we've got whatever flight number available at whatever time headed to your destination. I say, great. I am 30 minutes away from Birmingham. I will be there on that flight. And I show up and I go to the ticket counter and I say, is flight whatever still available? Yes, sir, Mr. Roberts. Great. I would like to get on it. No, the first question they're going to ask me is, where's your ticket? And I can say, well, you said the flights were available. Oh, yes, they are available to anybody that has a ticket. See where I'm going with this? Jesus is available to everyone. He can be approached by anyone. But if you do not accept Jesus, you're not getting on the plane. You see, this is where we have messed up, is we have we have twisted this Jesus is for everyone message into Jesus will just accept you as you are. There is no reason to change. Just keep living the lifestyle that you're living. It may contradict scripture, but that's okay. Jesus accepts you. You don't really have to follow the plan of salvation because, you know, we got a gracious, loving God. He will accept you. Man, it's getting quiet. But that contradicts everything in scripture. So, yes, Jesus is available to the world, but the scripture even says there will be very few that accept him. The Bible clearly states that there will be a great number of people that reject Jesus Christ. So as I'm getting ready to wrap up here today, I want to really touch on this. Jesus will not accept sin. Going back to that message Friday night, it really, really stood out to me. And we must realize that none of us are too saved that we can't backslide. Me included, holding the microphone. That's why every day we have got to wake up and make a decision, I am living for Christ today. Because all it takes is one bad decision, one day of slacking off, and you never know where you will end up. That preacher listed young man, young lady after young man after young lady from his church, people that he personally knew. He said people that were on our praise team, young men that had a call to preach on their life, people that we held up as this is how you should live, model people. He said, but one decision, and within 3 weeks, they're gone. He said, some of them now strung out on drugs. Some of them in a life of sin. Some of them living alternative lifestyles. He said, people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, people that were filled with the Holy Ghost, people that knew beyond a shadow of doubt what truth was, but somewhere along the line, they let their guard down. Somewhere along the line, the spiritual warfare got too much, and they said, you know what? I just don't want to fight this anymore. That is my prayer, is that God, give us the strength to never give up. All throughout the Old Testament, when Israel quit listening to the prophets, they quit following God. Look at how many instances where a man of God was sent to go talk to a king, said, hey, king, what you're doing is not right. Hey, king, you're headed down the wrong path. And when they chose not to listen to the man of God that had been placed in their life for guidance, they strayed. So let me tell you, spiritual warfare is about obedience and submission. Listen to your pastor. Listen to your elders. Listen to the mentors. Listen to the women and men of God in your life. I know this is probably not the shout down service, lift you up, swing from the ceiling message y'all wanted to hear today. But I'm telling you, we are in the middle of spiritual warfare, and somewhere deep down inside of us, we have got to make up our minds that we are going to fight this battle. We are going to fight this battle for our friends, for our lost loved ones, for our family members. I want to tell you today, don't give up now. You've come too far to give up now. Schedule a meeting with your pastor. Schedule a meeting with a man or a woman of God in your life. But whatever you do, don't give up. God puts people in your life for a reason. Listen to them. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody today. I just can't get out of this topic here. But a lot of times, in fact, I would say probably the majority of the time, if not all the times, the prophet never brought good news. The king didn't want to listen to what the prophet was saying. There's going to be times where your pastor tells you things you don't want to hear, but he is looking out for you. There's going to be times where your pastor's wife is saying, hey, I've noticed something about your life. I know something's going on. I don't want to see you led astray. We've got to get over this. I'm out of so far. I've already turned my iPad off. We've got to get out of this correction is church hurt stuff. People are trying to correct your life because they don't want to see you go to hell. When my daughter goes up to touch the hot stove, I don't let her just get burned. Oh, well, she'll learn her lesson. No. What? Hey, don't touch that. Don't touch that. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody here today. Start listening to people in your life. And I want to talk to some other people. You need to get some people out of your life that are speaking into it because they ain't speaking the right things. If you're listening to somebody in your life and all they do is gossip about everybody else, let me tell you, they're gossiping about you when they quit giving you advice. Let's just go ahead and go where we're at today. Don't listen to somebody that will come up and lay hands on somebody and talk about them when they get home. Let's go ahead and start fighting some spiritual warfare right now. I'm tired. We ain't fighting people. We're about to start fighting some spiritual stuff here. Today is going to be the day that some stuff gets handled here at Abundant Life Church. Get that stuff out of your life because they'll drag you down and you'll be lost with them outside this church. And one day you'll wake up years from now wondering how you got so far away. It is because you quit listening to the man of God in your life. Some point in your life you said, well, I know what I'm doing. I know that's a dangerous road to go down. God put pastors in our lives for a reason. If we can go ahead and stand here today, I don't even know how to close this. All I can say is you better get ready around Abundant Life Church. Because this revival that we've been talking about, this end time revival that we see, it's going to come through spiritual warfare. At some point, we have got to make up our minds that I don't care what it takes. I'm making sure me and my family make it. I cannot give up now. I cannot give up now. There needs to be somebody today. You probably feel like you've been battling the whole of hell all by yourself. Let me tell you, don't leave here today giving up. Don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. You may be down on your knees, but just hold up that shield. Go find a brother or sister and say, I need you just help me hold the shield up today. I feel like I'm just going through it, but brother, can you just help me out today? Because I want to make it. For the sake of my children, I want to make it. For the sake of my family, I want to make it. For the sake of my coworkers, for my schoolmates, for my classmates, I want to make it. So these altars are open today. But we don't need to hurry out of here. We don't need to just have a little altar call and go to lunch. We need to start fighting some spiritual warfare today. We need to make up our mind that I am not leaving here until some things in my life change. That when I walk out that door, I am not leaving the same way that I came in. That Monday when I show up on my job, there's going to be something different about me. Monday when I show up at school, somebody's going to notice something different about me. Because I made a commitment at a church on a Sunday afternoon that I wasn't giving up. These altars are open. If you need